Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome, welcome everyone for our seventh episode. Last week we were in Final Fantasy IX, well rather we started Final Fantasy IX. We're doing the whole series going in order of the story. So kind of just a recap in case you missed it. It has been, you know, a few weeks since it came, since we released the last episode, that is. But we, you know, we went through the beginning, we saw Zidane, then we popped in with Vivi, ran around, did some things, and we're pretty much right about where, well, we saved at the Moogles, right? So we met Kupo, and we're going up. So that's the recap. I will say, what a day it was for me, man. I played 9, because like I said last week, I'm going to try to be playing through our episodes, right? I did jump rope. Yep. Do you want to guess how many I got?
Let's see.
I did make a post. I don't know if you saw it. Be honest.
I'm going to say 15.
Well, there must be something different. Okay, here you go. Jump rope. I got 109.
What?
Yeah. Oh, so here's nice. The thing. It must be console, man. It must be something with console. And you know, it's funny because I noticed that in my most recent playthrough, it was on Xbox, it was remastered, that with the jump rope, there was just, it really seemed like there was just a small amount of lag in between when the exclamation points popped up and when I was hitting. And so I had to like kind of preemptively hit it. Dude, this time I've been doing it on the PC, so I knew what I'm doing with this, with our series. I'm doing it on the PC. Dude, it was like instant. Like I said, 109. Okay. And you know, from then, yeah, you guessed 15. That's about my max from there. And so, yeah. No, I am.
Nice, congrats.
Thank you. You got the cards, you know, the Cactar card. I'll also say, yeah. Dude, hilarious. It has a B-rated physical defense.
So wow.
It's insane.
That's really good,
that's
right?
That's insane for a first card starting out. B.
How were the arrows?
Pretty good. I got the whole left side covered. But yeah, B defense.
You also got Genji as well, right?
I got Genji. The funny thing is that Cactar is more defensive than Genji is. Best roll Genji was an 8, you know? And so, yeah, it's just really strange. Also found that cat, so, you know, we got the bomb card, but...
One magic, right? I think, as opposed to zero magic.
Exactly. Yep, it has something on it rather than just zeros across the board, so... Alright, so that's our recap. So we're gonna continue on. So obviously you follow the little rat kid on up, and well, the first thing, what do we do when we're up on the roofs?
Well, alright, so I didn't really know this for a long time, but there's like there's little trails that you can take kind of, I guess, on the roof, so you can go to these chimneys.
Right.
And you can snag small amounts of money. I don't know why people are putting money in their chimney, but you can get like, I think it's about 400 or something like that, but that's just kind of an interesting little thing. You can take these little side routes and get a little bit of gil out of it.
Right, yeah, because I do remember that, right? You don't have to follow the rat kid directly. You can walk around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't... Why would you put your money in a chimney? That just doesn't make any sense because, you know, these are old style chimneys too, like frequently used all the time. Yeah. And it's like, I really need to go to the store, buy some bread, and you just take out some old sooty coins, you know, like here you go. And the merchant's like, what the heck, man?
Yeah. First of all, bust out the ladder and climb up to the top of your roof just to get some money. Right. I mean, how does that work?
Unless little kids steal it from you. So of course we're at the play, right? Broadway. It's a pretty cool little scene. I like the whole play. It's really fun. Yeah. And you know, it progresses obviously, and you know, with all the cool stuff, but eventually you get to kind of one of the mini games we've talked about in our series. So if you haven't caught it, I think it was episode 5. Check it out. We talk about all the mini games. It's the sword fight sequence with Blank. And I mean, like I said, we've discussed, what can you get?
So you either get nothing, or you get a silk shirt if you impress some of them. I can't remember exactly how many. I think it's like Queen Brahm was not impressed, and maybe he got like 50 to 80 of the nobles or something like that. Of course, like you said, we already talked about, if you get 100 out of 100 and Queen Brahm impressed, you get the grand prize of 10,000 gil and a moonstone, which is pretty sweet. The gil is definitely the best thing out of that, in my opinion, because I think even if you get like 80 or 90... do you remember how much you get? So at like 2,000 or 3,000
or something
like that? Yeah,
it's substantially less than the 10,000.
10,000 at this point in the game is a huge amount of gil.
Yeah, I mean, you literally just went from Granny's treasure, which was 9 gil, I just picked it up, you know, and some from the chimneys, to 10 grand, and you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we already discussed that, and, you know, of course, something that I really like in 9, of course... I mean, across all the Final Fantasies, is the music. And the song during that sequence is the Vamo Aya Flamenco, right? And I love that song. It is one of my favorites, man. It's just, it's really fun. I like it even more during that sequence, though, because, you know, as you're fighting and you know, you clash swords and go, and everyone's like, ah, you know, it just, it really fits that song really well. I love it.
That is a good one, and then of course it comes back to play in the Chocobo Hot and Cold side quest, but you're right, it is a really good song for that sequence, and then you've kind of got like the audience chiming in to the exciting parts. And one thing I will note that always messes me up on the sword fight sequence is it's not so much like the button inputs, it's more the left and the right, because it shifts the screen a little bit and it just kind of throws you off.
Right.
I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but that's what always screwed me up.
Yeah, well, and I think we talked about it, too, for the episode. It's also the tempo. You know, you kind of get rolling, you're pressing, and then you hit it, and then you kind of have to wait like a half a second, and then it keeps going.
Exactly.
But kind of back to the music. So it's just, you know, obviously we have our Spotify music player on our website, which if you haven't checked out, we have done massive updates. It's looking amazing. But it's there to have all of the... playlists from Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10. We don't have 10, 2, 12, and 13. And don't have 15. I don't even, anyways. But
I don't know.
It's, I will say, if you're ever studying, if you're at home, if you have stuff to do, but you can be around your computer or you can be around your phone or whatever, man, I would recommend popping on that playlist, put it on just random, right? And let it go. It's hilarious what will come up, man, and you just really get into it. But what I always think is really interesting, and I really started to pick this up big time when I was doing that, was that the Final Fantasies, they usually pick like a song or two. Usually it is two songs. And they just use it over and over and over again. Not the same song, but they'll do different variations. So for instance, you know, Final Fantasy IX's main theme song is the Melodies of Life, you know, and dude, it's the world music. It's Dagger's little la 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 la, you know, it's literally all over the place, but it's so cool because you just hear it redone and redone and redone, and it's just like, you know, you'll be listening like, hey, wait a second, I know that song, you know?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I've definitely started to notice is that you can pick out elements of the music that they used in previous or they were even going to use in future games. Like, I've been playing through Final Fantasy VIII a little bit, and one of the songs on there is Movin', where you get the, it's the part where Balam Garden becomes mobile.
Yep.
And anyways, it's got elements in there that is so reminiscent of Final Fantasy VII, and then parts that really remind me, it's kind of like, shows you where they went with Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah.
Because I think they were all, 7 through 9 was all Nobuo Uematsu,
the same guy,
right?
Yeah.
So, right, and then it switched up on 10, but...
It did. You know, I mean, with that even, too, is just the progression, I guess, through the technology, you know, because let's be honest, Final Fantasy VII songs, they hit home. Oh, man, you just boom. Mm-hmm. But, God, are they so... They're whiny. You know, they are just so beeps and boops. You know, that's what it is. And it's just like, oh, man, yeah, this was early. That's... Reminds it's you that like it was made 1997, you know?
It's like 64-bit music.
It is.
If you go back to, like, I mean, I know we haven't played much of this, but I have seen or heard some music from Final Fantasy VI. A lot of people really highly esteem that soundtrack too, but that kind of has the same issue as well, where it's just, limited by the technology at the time.
Yeah, and then even just going and tying in what you said real quick about 7 to 8, same thing with 8 to 9. You know what I mean? Like I said, you put it on repeat, put it on shuffle or whatever, and there, especially some of the more kind of like gothic themed songs. Dude, there's times I cannot remember if it was 8 or 9 because like they have a lot of very similar sounding gothic songs, which are really awesome. But anyways, moving on. So we'll talk about music more going forward, because man, it's after doing this and listening to this, it's just, man, I love this stuff. So we've made it to Alexandria Castle, right? We had our little sword fight. They ran off. Man, there is so much to talk about in Alexandria Castle. It is so hysterical. Obviously, they get into the armor. We're introduced to a whole kinds of other things. So ones that I want to bring up, I can't remember if this even happened first. No, it happened a little bit later. But the court jesters, right? Zorn and Thorn, which their song is also really awesome. Those are just some interesting characters, man.
Yeah, they really are. And you're right, the song is awesome in this game. It's called Jesters of the Moon, I think. And I did a little bit of research into them, and there's quite a bit of mythology that goes behind Zorn and Thorn, because I was kind of interested. I won't spoil it, but at a later point in the game, I was trying to figure out, how does that work? Like, who really were they, and where did they come from? It's just incredible, like, the amount of detail that some people put into the research in these types of things.
Yeah, and they're able to actually figure it all out, which is beyond me.
Yeah, like the dates and everything.
Yeah. So our first little, we already saw Blank pull him out on the theater ship, but we get another look at the Oglops, and, obviously, if you know the story, they're all over the place through it, but what the heck, man? They are so weird. Yeah. It's just strange.
Well, yeah, it's really funny. We were talking about this. I think it's like some combination between a frog and a cockroach or something like that. That's kind of the impression I get, but I just love, like, every single time they're a part of the game, it's like that sound effect. Gwoink, gwoink, gwoink.
Yeah, guak, guak.
Seriously. But, yeah, they really do. It's kind of like Moogles and Chocobos in the Final Fantasy series, except 9 was just, tried to introduce the whole Oglop thing at several points throughout the story, and it's
all
just
over.
Really odd.
Yeah. And no one likes them. So obviously they're very dislikable creatures. But anyway, so it's just pretty hilarious that they go up and you get this mysterious hooded figure, and Zidane's obviously gushing over it. Hey, she's kind of cute and all that, and just that whole sequence is pretty funny. Obviously she flies by him. I've had multiple times someone run by me so fast that I spun in place a couple of times. Happens all the time. And then the chase is on at that point, but it's kind of hilarious, man. Zidane, it doesn't matter who it is, what company he's in, where it's at. If it's a chick, he's like, hey, what's going on there? And he's 16 he's years. Hey, he's, well, there you go. He's 16 years old. Yeah. So
it's got to shoot a shot, man. yeah. And going back to what you said too, about the spinning around thing. Isn't it weird how that only, they're really like comical at the beginning of the game? They have that happen several times, but then it really doesn't ever happen again throughout pretty much the rest of the story. It's just, beginning, they were really trying to get you with kind of sort of lighthearted.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, the beginning is really fun. It is. It's one of my probably favorite starts of any Final Fantasy. We will pause it right there so we get to see trivia. Obviously, we got a lot more to get to in Alexandria Castle. But see trivia, Alex is rank 5. Well, he's rank 4. He's trying to take rank 5. He failed last time. I think we'll help him out this time. So let's go ahead and move on to it. So our first question for Alex's seed rank 5 test. All right, man. Chocobo, hot and cold. So obviously Final Fantasy 9, we're keeping it home here.
Okay.
The max number of treasures that you can get per game is 8.
True.
Final Fantasy 10. We're getting into the feelings, man. The last words that Titus says is, I have to go.
Oh, man. I see, it's so funny because I actually saw that scene not too long ago, so yeah, I think that is what he says at the very end. Let's say true.
All right. Sorry, I wiped my tears away there. I was just so heartbroken. Back to Final Fantasy IX. Right back to Zorn and Thorn. Thorn is the red one. Zorn is the blue one.
True.
Got some memory ones here this time. I tried to switch it up. I didn't want to get too technical and book savvy. All right, Final Fantasy XII. We're in the Nalbina dungeons. All right. And I just love my notes on this. I will read to you what I wrote down, but I will explain a little bit more. You'll probably know. But I wrote down there are four fatties to punch. Now, what I mean by that is that when you get thrown into the pit with Balthier, there are four of them to punch.
True.
Final Fantasy VII. This one was a gimme, man. You're going to know this one instantly. Master level HP plus increases health by 50%.
True.
All right. Final Fantasy VIII. Zell's face tattoo is on his right side.
I'm thinking back to that original scene where he's introduced. And...
Oh, and he's doing the flips.
Yeah, he does like that cheesy grin.
Yeah.
I believe that is true. Yeah.
All right, keeping it right with Final Fantasy VIII and keeping it right with Zell. Zell's card, the only A value, is on the bottom.
Oh, man. God, that's actually tricky. I never use Zell's card. I always just refine it. And I honestly don't remember. True.
All right. How to get you with some of the mind game ones, right?
Yeah.
So let's see. We have a total of 7 questions, so you can only miss 3. Let's recap here. Final Fantasy IX, Chocobo Hot and Cold. Yes, 8 is the max. If you get that, the Moogle's like, yo, man, you're going to make me broke. And he ends it right there. Final Fantasy X, you know, it's funny that you said you just recently watched that, because I did when I was thinking about that. I thought about it, I'm like, oh, that'd be a good question, but I couldn't remember what it was. He does say, I have to go. But then he turns around and says, goodbye. So that is the last thing he says. Real quick on that, that ending movie, just it's like, dude, you guys have been like gushing over each other's whole game, and like your final farewells are just like a quick hug and Yuna shaking her head twice. You know, like,
yeah,
come on. All right, Final Fantasy IX
makes it so sad.
Yeah, that's true, right? Thorn is red and Zorn is blue. You got that.
Yes.
Now, being a dungeons, unfortunately, there's only 3 fatties to punch.
Oh.
Not 4.
Dang it.
All right, master level HP plus does increase your health by 50%, so you're good there.
Nice.
Zell's face tattoo, I said, was on his right side. I think you said false.
It's on his, said true on that.
Oh, you said true. Well, that's wrong. Yeah. It's on his left side.
What?
Womp, womp, womp.
How is it on his left side? Hold on.
Are you Googling it?
Facing... No, I'm just trying to remember that original scene, I swear.
Well,
yeah, he was facing the other way.
Yeah, right. Regardless, even if you got that one wrong, you did get the last one correct, even though you guessed there. But you guessed correct, man. A value is on the bottom. And so you passed. You got it this time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Payday.
So... Alex is rank 5 for the seed test, and we are going to continue our look into Alexandria Castle. So the next part in the castle is we are introduced to quite a man, old Rusty. Good old Steiner.
Adelbert Steiner.
But you know what, we got, he's the Tin Man, he's also the leader of the Knights of Pluto, which we have down is just a bunch of lazy guys getting around, getting beat up, you know, and stuff. It's hilarious, though, because, what, you get to be him, and then it is so much fun walking around as Steiner, because clink, 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 clink the whole time, and I just love how, like, what is he wearing? Are they just... pants that are too short, like, or
it's really weird. Yeah,
is it
like,
a Holbrook, or like, I don't understand.
I don't know, dude. But yeah, I know what you mean because like his I think his knees and below are pretty much exposed, right?
Yeah,
And he's
man.
also got kind of like short sleeve armor or
He's
something
expecting
like
a
that.
flood.
Yeah, seriously. But my favorite thing about Steiner is when he gets all angry and then he does like the jump up and down thing, just freaking out.
It just rattles the whole
Ching,
time.
ching, ching.
Yeah.
So good. He's literally, it's like, he's just such a good character, especially in the early stages for comic relief.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, they just, especially Zidane, like, man, they just make fun of him nonstop. It is hilarious.
Yeah, one of the things he always pokes him for is the rusty armor or something like
Yeah,
that.
just calls him
Hence old
Rusty.
Rusty. Yep.
They make fun of the armor too. Yeah, it's everything about it. Sometimes I wish, like, the updated models, you know, for Remaster, they did it the way it was supposed to, you know, because apparently his armor was supposed to be rusty. Would it be cool if they put little, like, rust spots, you know, all over him or
Yeah,
something?
that'd be great.
But there's lots to do in C. So I did not remember when you said this, but you said if you go in the kitchen, you can see Kina. She's in
Oh,
there.
yeah.
And so I didn't know that. I did not remember that at all.
Well, there's so many. I love this whole section because you've got all of Alexandria Castle, and it's such a huge place, and there's like barely anybody in there. Yeah, I think it's once you get to that main part of the castle with the creepy painting of Queen Braun, the front,
The
pretty much
really
the
creepy one.
entrance. Yeah, seriously. So if you go on the second floor, if you go left, you get into the kitchen, and
Right.
it's got all those little like
The
little
little tiny
chef
guys, right?
Meister. Yeah, the little blue Meister guys where their chef's hat is like covering half of their face.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can see Queena in there, or Kina. And there's also some really funny things where like some of those guys are called like Onion Meister, and it's just really weird, like just some extra NPC dialogue you can get out of it.
Right.
On top of that, you get to try some of the food as Steiner, and then he says something like, he's just like, Alexandrian cuisine is the finest in the realm, or something like
Yep, I
that.
did remember that because I did that the recent playthrough, and so I was like, ah, oh, hilarious.
Yeah.
Finest in the realm.
Finest in the realm, man.
But yeah, no, seriously, taking it back to that picture, don't forget to stop and look at it because, I mean, she is already ugly, but that picture is just something else.
Creepy,
It's like
seriously.
she is like demonized. It's crazy. But something else I didn't know about that you told me, if you find all Pluto Knights, I don't think I even made it a point to ever find all the Knights, so that's probably why I don't know that, but
Yeah.
you get an elixir.
Well, and it's actually kind of tricky because I think I found this out doing using a perfect game guide. The trick with this one is you have to find one of the guys like their names are really crazy. It's like Lauder Braun or something like
Yeah.
that. He's in the library. Find him once, then you leave. You have to go back in, and he's hidden in between some of the bookshelves. So you literally can't see him. You have to just press X in there, and then you find him
I
again, and
see.
that's how you get the elixir. So that's probably why I didn't ever get it when I first played the game without a guide,
Well,
and
yeah, because why
a
would you
lot
go
of
right
people
back
didn't.
in?
Yeah, and you can't see him. You have to press X because he's like hiding in between the bookshelves.
That's pretty funny. They love that library. We'll get to more on that, but
Yeah.
so it's pretty funny because right next to that, right, you go into the tower right before you see Zidane chasing the princess around. And this is funny because I actually made a post about this week on social media where I took a screenshot of that case because, man, Final Fantasy, they did away with it. 7, 8, 9, though, and maybe even more in the earlier ones, they love their classic spiral staircases, man, where you just gotta run in
Yeah.
circles around and around. And you're like, oh my god. You make it to the next one, and then there's just another map of the same thing. You're like, oh, when's this gonna end? You know, it's like, I
Yep.
saw that tower from the outside, man. It is not that tall. I'll tell you what.
I know, right? Doesn't make any sense.
No.
I love that part though when they get up to the top and he sees Zidane chasing after Princess Garnet and he's like, there's the princess being hounded by brigands.
Yeah. Being the Hounded, yeah, it's like what they tried to go all like medieval knight with his
Very.
language, you know, like an
Yep.
actual knight, and so
I think it was good.
it's
I like
pretty
that they did that.
hilarious. It is. But, you know, there was a lot going on, obviously. And of course, we're blazing through this because we can't talk about every single little thing. But, you know, they're going through.
There's a lot to talk about.
I think our probably one of the favorite things that we just remembered and talked about was as soon as the princess gets onto the ship. This is right before, like, kind of the battle scenes happen. But she runs by Ruby, and Ruby does a little twirl, and what, tarnation? And it's like, yeah. Hold up there. And it's just, I forget what she calls her, but it's just, it's so cowgirl. Hilarious how they, yeah, was it cowgirl?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just hilarious how they tried to make her as southern as possible, and it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, they always have to throw that in there. It's like, why, where is she from, and why is she so country?
But yeah, like literally the only one like that in the whole game that you encounter, at least. But of course, then you get to the scenes, and I love the whole play scene, man. It's so hilarious. You know, they get on up there and they're just pretending, you know, the princess is falling in line. It's great. And then the best part is when she gets stabbed by Marcus, and it plays the song Tragic Love, goes, bah, 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 you know, it Stider's like, no. Freaking out.
Thinks it's real. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And another thing I think is so funny about that is when they first get transported up there, they all just kind of like stand there for a minute and it's like, okay, guys, just improvise. But they're literally standing there for like 30 seconds to a minute just not doing anything. And the crowd doesn't, they're just like, okay.
Yeah, like, oh, this is part of the show.
Yeah, but I mean, there was just this huge awkward pause and everything and nobody called him out for it, but hey, they pulled it off.
Well, I mean, come on, man. Was someone going to stamp a crowd and be like, you're all phonies? Like, you know, yeah. They're going to sit there. They're going to wait. You know, that would have been hilarious, though. Big fat phonies. Speaking of phony, though, once you start that battle, very interesting. But you can do, like, the, what, like, effects moves that don't do anything. Effects. It's pretty hilarious.
And it is. I kind of like that they threw that in there because can literally just sit there and use these moves and they never do any damage, and I don't even know if it's possible to get a game over at this point in the game, you know, because like you're fighting like two of the Gennaro, Bonero and Baku pretty much,
right,
and they can actually do damage to you, but yeah, you've got Pyro, which is like fake magic spell, you've got Poli is like supposedly holy or something like that, and then Meteo is the meteor one, and fun fact with that, Zidane is the only one that can use it. And also another thing,
yeah,
I thought was funny is when you do the little help text SFX, it just says powerful magic.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, if you hit select whatever and it has the little Moogle, you know, powerful magic.
Powerful,
and then you
magic,
do it and it does zero and you're like, okay.
Zero. Yeah. It's like that was real powerful, sweet.
Yeah. And then of course you gotta fight Steiner. And then, of course, the bomb is released on you, and it's pretty hysterical. Now, I don't think I've ever actually attacked the bomb. Can you attack the bomb?
Well, okay, so you can't attack the bomb, but the thing with this battle is it's time-oriented. So the funny thing about it is if you were to use, like, you know, back in the day, like a Game Shark for some cheats,
right,
to do, like, 9,999 damage, Steiner has infinite HP. I mean, you can't kill him. It's time. So you could be doing like 80,000 damage to him, and it won't matter.
Oh,
so
that's hilarious.
It's just kind of weird because the whole battle is dependent on the bomb growing and then him doing his little lines and stuff like
so
that.
So basically what you're saying is that Steiner is the hardest boss in the game. Because he can't die.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he only does like 15 damage, but still you can't kill him.
You need to get Senna in there, that's why.
You take him down with the hammer.
You'll take him down with the hammer. Well, actually, you know, pretty funny on that real quick, because, you know, I just did it, and yeah, no, man, it's like 12. I swear, man, 12 looked back at 9 and was like, we want hammers and axes. What should we do? Well, look, we got Senna and his hammer and axe. Sometimes it did 20, sometimes it did 4. Let's do it, you know? It's like that same thing.
If only they kept the same sound effect for 12. Like
well,
that little
in same character model.
Exactly.
Brought it back. Yeah. But of course, as that battle goes by, you know, they keep telling it's just the kind of little funny thing of look behind you, you know, and Steiner's like, nah. At the same time, I don't know how you couldn't feel a giant bomb presence behind you, but you know, hey, whatever. He did eventually.
I looks like it's, you know, it's supposed to be like on fire, right? So does it not feel any heat or anything? And then like what you said, yeah, I mean, on top of that, you'd think there's this, because at the end when it's like at its full growth stage, dude, it's freaking giant.
Oh, I know,
And
right?
he can't sense anything behind him, like he has
No.
no idea. But yeah,
It's a.
that's Steiner for you.
Yeah, no, completely oblivious. I'll not fall for such an old trick. It's hilarious, man. Absolutely hysterical. But I love that whole scene, man. I love it from just the cinematics, you know, to just everything. Because, you know, that's essentially up to this point. You know, that's the beginning of the game, you know, that's like their intro into Final Fantasy IX is all this, and it's awesome, man. It's fun. It's like we said, it's kind of lighthearted. It's meant to just be enjoyed and laughed at. Lots of jokes and funny little things in there, and it's just pretty cool because, you know, I mean, compared to some of the other ones, you know, on Final Fantasy IX, it's like just super serious from the beginning, and you're assaulting something. And of course, all the intros from all these other games are amazing in their own, but IX was just. It was really fun. It was just really fun and just already hits you with their sense of humor in it. And it's, I don't know. I really enjoy it. But, you know, before we get to the crash, we gotta get to our bold move. Yeah, let's get to it. Okay, bold move. I'm gonna start us out here. We got Final Fantasy X, and it is going to my man Orin for. Heading down to Guado Salami. If you don't call it Guado Salami, I question if you're a Final Fantasy fan. You have to. And him on going kind of to the far plane. He didn't go to it, but he stopped at the bridge. He could have said, like, yo, I'm gonna go at the inn, have a couple beers, you guys go on ahead. But no, he went like right up to it until he started having like a heart attack. That's kind of bold of
Exactly.
him. You know, that's kind of bold. So.
It's risky, yeah, definitely. And my bold move this week, I've got Final Fantasy 12, part when they're all leaving the Henny Mines. Or no, sorry, not the Henny Mines, the Lusu Mines for the first time, right?
Okay.
And you see Larsa and Pinello, and then Larsa takes Pinello away with him. Then Fran's like, "Don't worry, I believe he'll treat her well." And Balthier says, "Nobody knows men like Fran does." I just thought that was such a good line by him. I mean, he has a lot of really witty lines, but that was just golden.
It was. And just, you know, poor Vaughn sitting there. But, alright. Some bold moves. Well, I took mine a little more serious, but hey, you know what? Sometimes you gotta get serious. It's not always fun in games, guys. But let's go ahead and get back to it. Continuing on with Final Fantasy IX. So we got the crash, and then we're introduced to a new thing, and that is the action time event, which is really different. Like I don't that nothing like that is in any of the other Final Fantasies. And
No, it's kind of cool.
yeah, I really liked it because, you know, again, I'm gonna be sound like a broken record here of I don't remember and you know, on my recent playthrough, but you know, I forgot so much of this game that it was really fun kind of watching all of them and learning stuff. And it's just they're usually pretty funny little tidbits is usually what they are. And so you get your first one. What's the first one?
I think it's like a little scene about Vivi and Dagger in the forest.
Yeah, that's right. There we go.
Yeah, and then that's when Dagger gets taken by the plant cage, and then Vivi eventually gets taken.
Yep, that's right. I mean, obviously there's not as much to explore in the crash site, but a lot of the little action time events, you can see what Steiner getting well, I guess that's after the first battle, so I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I guess we have to go to the battle because all the ones I want to talk about are after the battle.
Yeah,
So you go
exactly.
forward.
And you fight the what is it called again? It's like the plant.
I don't know what it's
I
called,
can't
yeah.
remember. Yeah, but it's like the plant cage guy or whatever. And you get your first introduction to Trance,
Oh, that's
where
right.
you have Zidane. And I'm sure other players have done this as well. So if at this point, if you were able to steal the Mage Masher at the first battle of the game, right off the bat, and you have access to Tidal Flame. And if you use that here, you get a game over because it'll kill Vivi too. So
Yeah, I've done
that's just kind of
that.
funny. I've totally done that before where I'm like, oh, it's like way stronger than the first one. All right, I'll use this. And yeah. then it kills VB and it's game over.
And you're like, well, that sucks. Well, yeah, because, I mean, if you don't press select and have the little Moogle tell you, you don't know that it attacks multiple enemies.
You don't really
know, yeah. You just click it and then, yeah, it kills. That's hilarious. Yeah, Trance will kind of, we'll get into a little bit more in Trance probably in the next episode here. Obviously, after the battle, you get VV, everyone gets poisoned, and they're taken back. That's what I was wanting to allude to, but we had to get to the battle to talk about the poison. So, it's pretty funny, because obviously everyone has to get the little potion that heals them of it, and, you know, it's just funny, because Steiner gets pushed in the room, he finds, like, the little dagger doll that was used for their model, and he doesn't want to take the poison, because he think or the potion, because he thinks potion, it's poison. Yeah. And then he drinks it, he's like, not bad, or whatever. Yeah.
And then soon after this, you get the first Teach Me Mogster, which just kind of is like a tutorial the basics on the game.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's man, so much info, huh? I've never actually gone through any of that stuff. But
heck no.
It's just,
remember,
it's just...
even when we first started playing the game, we just skipped all of it.
Yeah, no, I don't need any of this. I mean, there really isn't anything that's, like, super crazy in that game that you're like, oh, I can't figure out how to attack, you know, or anything like that. And so...
escape and all that, yeah.
It's, I guess, it's just a way to, you know, have all info there if you want, because, you know, there will be these time action events all through it. So, we'll see plenty of the... You're really smart, bro. Yeah, I know.
And so, yeah, it's something like, gosh, bro, you sure know a lot.
Oh, yeah,
like,
there you go.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, then you know, I mean, pretty much all that is here at the crash site are just the action time events. And so one of the ones I think is probably the most hilarious one is, once again, poor Cinna, you know, he's looking for his little Garnet doll. He can't sleep without it.
Yeah. So weird. He's such a strange character, the way that they made him. He's like really childish. And then you find out later he's all obsessed about coffee and all this kind of stuff. It's just, he's a really interesting character.
He is. And then, I mean, just his personality and himself aside, like, he just... Now, granted, a lot of characters look weird in this one, so that's not really a far cry. But he still looks weird, man. He is... He's got, like, that tiny little shirt, a big old pot belly showing out of it, you know? He's got this mallet or hammer or whatever it is. And then just the thing that gets me the most is that, like, he's got that, like, super, like, 50s, 60s, like, cartoon look about his face with, like, the super goatee. Like, he would just need a big old cigar in his mouth, and that would just be, like, perfect, pretty much.
Yeah. He's got, like a clown nose, like a red bulbous nose.
Yeah. He's just...
And then, yeah, like what you said, his outfit, too. He's got, like, a little tiny metal hat. Like little tiny metal shoes or something like that for some reason. No other armor. It's just...
Yeah, it's... again, a lot of things are weird in this game, but he is still up there, and it's just... It's hilarious. We'll of course, be stopping to talk about him every chance we get. Which, unfortunately, there'll only be a few more chances, but... Anyways, Zidane, he's ready to go, right? Everyone's back. They're ready to go save Garnet. And, of course... You got to get the boss's permission, which, you know, apparently that means you have to fight him again for the third time, you know, and it's like, all right, I don't know how they do things around here, but apparently that's what you got to do.
It's kind of interesting to think what would have been different if the story, you didn't leave Tantalus and then he stuck with them, and because it's kind of that thing of, at this point in the game, you still have to get somebody's permission to go and do something.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I guess he is 16, but then again, everyone's young, you know, in all the Final Fantasies, always. So, it's pretty hilarious, but, you know, of course, the one last thing right there is, you know, after you beat him, and then he punches him in the stomach, and he's like, he's throwing every punch till that last one, you know? Yep. So
it's also just a funny battle, too, because he always falls over, like, I think, what, 25% of the time, his attack doesn't even hit, because he just falls over.
Yeah, he, like, trips. It's pretty hilarious, but at this point, it's pretty much... So you got the permission, you can leave, and now it's like, you know, you're finally able to kind of go. You know, like, you got a party for the most part. Obviously, you don't have Garnet yet, but you know, you got the three VV Steiner in Zidane, and you're able to kind of go out. And so it's pretty cool. We're not going to quite get to Evil Forest on this episode. We're going to take it out, and we'll probably get pretty good stride on the next episode with Evil Forest and probably Ice Caverns. But overall, really good. Really liked it up to this point. And then, yeah, like I said, we'll kind of get more into the parties and battles and stuff moving forward. So,
yep.
Well, we thank you all for stopping by, as always. Do want to take a moment. If you have not checked out our website, please do so. It's Final Stop at Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com. I know it's a lot, but that's what it is. We've been working on it a lot. We have a great marketing person, Angela J. Ford. She's been doing it. All her links also at the bottom of our homepage. But check it out.
It's looking really good.
Yeah, we're going to be working on a little bit more, but we're getting that going. We're getting social media going still, so any way you can help us out, make sure, you know, get in the conversation. We got blogs, so you can comment on those as well. But it's all appreciated. We thank you for listening and stopping by. And I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.